Kyle Malin. He is the editor of the MERS newsletter. Kyle, how are you?
Great. How you doing, Tony?
And where are you this morning?
I'm at Silver Lake near Traverse City.
Oh, man. I bet it's nice up there.
Oh, yeah. I just heard your weather forecast there. I'm glad that I'm here and not down there in an office somewhere.
Well, tell me...
Not to rub it in or anything.
That's a good shot, Kyle. I'd take that, too. Tell us what's going to be going on at the state capitol. There much has been talked about how many lawmakers won't be in session, but they'll still be working and hobnobbing.
Yeah, the Capitol, they might as well just shut the Capitol down because there isn't going to be any lawmakers around this week. And, you know, next week will be a little different. But, you know, there's a lot to be made about lawmakers not coming in during the summer, July and August. You know, they take some time off. You know, really what this is for lawmakers, in theory, to get back in touch with their constituents. A lot of these lawmakers are going to be knocking on doors, attending functions, and listening to feedback about what has happened here in the first 6 months. And really that's almost as important as actually being up here and doing work anyway. I mean, I think they feel like they've done so much here for the first 6 months, and really they have. They want to hear what the impact is on the folks that they represent, and they want to hear about what else should be on the agenda and what else they want to have accomplished. So, you know, while there's going to be some obviously going on vacation and not going to be in town, for those who especially are going to be running for re-election in 2012, this is a time to get back in touch with the constituents and learn a little bit more about what's going on in their communities.
Well, it sounds like most of the state reps and state senators that we talk to drive from home and the areas anyway and just come here to work.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true, but a lot of them don't. You know, it's amazing how many lawmakers actually have homes or rent homes in Lansing because it's so far away. I mean, if you live up in the Upper Peninsula, I mean, or even if you live in some sections out near Detroit or, you know, up in northern Michigan, I mean, commuting is not an option. And so you know, you're home Friday to Monday, but, you know, you miss out on a lot of the, you know, the Kiwanis meetings or, you know, this high school's got a special presentation to the class at such and such high school. And sometimes lawmakers get what's called Lansingitis. I mean, they get here and they think that this is the center of the universe. And, you know, it's kind of a touchback of reality to go back to the home district and realize, oh, well, you know, I guess this is a kind of a reminder. This is, you know, I came to Lansing for a reason. Am I getting that reason done?
So the bridge deal is done.
No, I wouldn't say that. You know, that new international bridge crossing thing, I think, is stuck firmly in neutral right now. And, you know, I don't think that the proponents of the bridge and Rick Snyder and Brian Kelly have done a good job in trying to educate the public on why we need it. You know, they've done a lot in Lansing to try and educate folks, but instead what's happened is they've just kind of got tangled up in a mud wrestling contest with Maddie Maroon and the owners of the Ambassador Bridge about things that I don't know in general are really the issue, you know, trying to become traffic forecasters and stuff. I don't really know if that's the issue at all. And so I think what you're going to see is I think Rick Snyder and the proponents of the new bridge are going to, in the fall, come up with a little sharper message on why we need it. And I would suggest they may want to do kind of a PR campaign similar to what the Ambassador Bridge has done, try and drum up public support, because I don't think public support is firm on this issue at all. From the polls that we've seen, the public is fairly you know, neutral on the subject because I think they want to know more about it. And, you know, I think until we've gotten kind of a firm position from the public, I don't know if we really know what the future that's going to be.
Kyle, what will be at the top of the agenda once we get all the lawmakers back in town?
Geez, you know what? Here's the funny thing, Tony. I mean, we're talking, I mean, the lawmakers are going to come back like next week on the 13th. They're going to be back for one day. A lot of this is kind of mop-up duty. But I think when Labor Day comes around, I think we're going to see maybe something that I would mention right now, you know, may not be on the top of the agenda. Now, I think we've still got 2 months left, and there's going to be a lot of discussion about what that agenda is going to look like. And I think it's kind of too soon to guess on what that's going to be. Obviously, the bridge is going to be on there somewhere, but, you know, they may also want to push that, you know, closer to December if they feel like they need more time to do that. The governor is going to be making some more special messages, one on transportation and one on health. And so, I mean, there's opportunities for other things to be talked about. They've also talked about getting rid of the personal property tax that businesses pay on equipment and so forth, mostly in manufacturing. So, I mean, that could be up there, but it really is too soon to tell exactly what they're going to want to jump into when September hits.
On the newsletter, you talk about the federal court that tossed out the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative. Elaborate on that.
Yeah, you know, the U.S. Court of Appeals has finally taken up our challenge, not our, but a challenge against what was known in 2006 as the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative, and that was the initiative that banned affirmative action programs in public institutions like universities. And this has been weaving its way through the state courts, and the state court finally said, you know, it was fine that we passed this MCRI. And then it went to the federal courts, and the first stop in the federal court, they said, yeah, it's fine. Well, now this is the first time that any court has said, no, this isn't okay. And so what's going to happen now is Bill Schuette, the attorney general, is going to ask the Court of Appeals to look at this en bloc, which means all of the judges from the Sixth Circuit would take a look at this and see if the three-judge panel were in the right on this. And then after that, you know, if the losing party isn't satisfied, they could take it all the way up to the Supreme Court. Either way, this isn't really a dead issue yet. This is still very much alive in the courts. And, you know, if the en bloc motion fails, then maybe we'll go to the Supreme Court. The final chapter hasn't been written here on this yet, though.
Another story in the newsletter talks about audit questions, massage fees clubs do for Michigan staff work. In the latest Auditor General report found that Michigan Works employees receive perks like free massages and country club benefits.
Yeah, and you know what? These are the types of things that you see in our Auditor General reports that sometimes don't get picked up in the mainstream news. Sometimes they do. And what it ends up doing is enticing lawmakers to get really feisty about how much money we're spending on state government and really, you know, I guess put the hatchet down on trying to spend more on state government and saying, how can you guys say you can't cut more when we still have this kind of stuff going on? It doesn't help state government at all, especially make their case that, hey, we've cut to the bone, now we're cutting slices of meat off, now we're cutting off slices of bone. And those kind of pleas kind of ring hollow when you read stuff like that in an Auditor General report.
And I've got a minute left. Michigan Congressman McOtter is going to run for president. What do you know about Thaddeus McOtter?
Well, Thaddeus McOtter is a Livonia lawmaker, and he's an attorney, and he was a Michigan senator, actually, when I started at MERS back in 2001, and he's got a reputation as being a bit of an intellectual. I mean, he's a very, very sharp wit, very sharp tongue. You know, as far as the rhetoric and so forth, I mean, he's very good on that. He's very sharp on the issues. He knows what he's talking about, and he's got a loyal band of followers. You know, I kind of equate it to this, Tony. You know how Dennis Miller or Conan O'Brien, you know, they've got kind of their niche band of followers.
Sure.
Who just think they're the greatest thing on earth. Well, I would put Thad McOtter in that category for lawmakers because he's got that type of appeal to certain people who are very heady on a conservative sense. They've got a certain niche issues that they really feel strongly about, and he just drives it, and that's what I would equate him to. I don't know if he's going to get popular mainstream support, but I would say that he's got a good cult following as he gets into this a little bit deeper.
All right. When you get back, I want to talk local politics, but we're going to let you run and enjoy your vacation. Thanks so much for your time.
Hey, no problem, Tony. Take care.